Okay, I'm all in.
This is the only poker show in St. Louis radio.
I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please.
With the only St. Louisan to make it to the final table of the 2008 World Series of Poker main event.
Shuffle up a deal.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
To downtown St. Louis in the Lumiere Poker Room. I am Paul Harris with Team Poker Stars Pro Dennis Phillips and ready to roll for another week. Before we get going here today on a lot of other stuff,
alrighty.
I have to announce that our guest, who is scheduled for today, will not be able to join us.
Yep.
We just heard about an hour before the show started that Phil Hellmuth can't make it for today's show.
Hey, he's probably going to show up 2 hours late, right?
Well, you know what? With Phil's reputation, we're on the air from 2 to 3. He comes in at 2:59.
There you go.
Yeah, probably in a chariot in his Caesar outfit like he did both at the Rio this summer and in London.
He did it in London also. Absolutely did. I think it was a little chilly for him there.
Yeah, I think so. But sorry that we won't have Phil on today. We are going to rebook him for another day, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. And we actually have a couple of Phil Hellmuth stories that we're going to get to here today. But to start things off, mm-hmm. before we bring in any other subjects, and we have a lot of stuff we're going to cover today, and Joe, the poker coach, McGowan, will be along with his segment a little bit later on.
Uh-oh, this is going to get dangerous. Go ahead.
Well, last week on the show, you announced that moments before we went on the air, you had gotten an invitation to appear next month on High Stakes Poker.
Yep.
That Maury Escandani and the folks at Poker Productions had asked you to be on there right after the main event, you said, is when you're going to be taping it, right?
It appears now. 11th, 12th, and 13th of November we're taping it, yes.
All right. Well, last week was the first I heard about it.
First I heard about it.
all I had a chance to ask you was, what's the buy-in and are you going to go? And there's been a lot of buzz about you in the last week in some online forums, so I'm wondering if there's anything new. Are you definitely going to do it?
Have had a couple of emails back and forth. I'm going to be talking to the production crew out there to find out the actual details on it. They're going to fill me in on all the requirements and that. I really don't know it yet. Unless they shock me with something, yes, I am going to do it.
But as you announced last week on this show, the buy-in this year is going to be $100,000 to $400,000.
No, $200,000 minimum.
Oh, okay.
$200,000 minimum.
$200,000 to $500,000, which is what it was last year?
What they told me was $200,000 to $400,000. Now, I don't know whether I got the information correct because I have not talked to the guy from Poker Productions yet, but $200,000 to $400,000 is what I was told, yes.
You're going to put $200,000 on the line and go play high-stakes poker?
Well, at least $200,000.
I was going to say, because if you buy in for $200,000 and you go broke, which can happen to anybody in any game in any session.
Well, I've never had aces cracked. How about you?
Unfortunately, recently I got very stubborn with them. Does that mean that you have to go with $400,000?
You do whatever.
No, I'm asking you.
Yeah, I have not talked to the poker production. Obviously, I'm going to go there with more than the minimum. I'm going to go there with a better bankroll than that.
Probably at least three?
Probably a little more than that. I'll probably show up out there with about $500,000.
Well, and I have to have you answer a comment that was made by Greg Raymer.
Go for it.
The Fossil Man and a fellow Team Poker Stars Pro.
When was the last time Greg was on High Stakes Poker?
I don't think Greg's been invited to be on. As a matter of fact, I think the only two Team Poker Stars Pros who've been on there, well, three actually,
there's
Barry
three.
Greenstein, Peter Eastgate, and Joe Hashem.
Daniel.
Daniel, of course. Of course.
There's four of them.
Okay. Anybody else been asked?
Not that I know of. I'm sure there is, but I have not heard of anybody. I did hear a comment by Daniel that he originally had something else scheduled, found out when it was going to be taped, and he's changing his whole schedule around just to be there.
Okay, well, as I said, a lot of people have been commenting on this online, in a lot of online forums, and there are a lot
I've got both good and bad comments even to me right face-to-face.
Well, that's what you get, especially in the anonymity of an online forum.
Yep.
People have been saying good things and bad things.
Sure.
And people who only know you from having watched you on the ESPN coverage of last year's Final Table, that's all they know about you, and so they think that they can draw conclusions about your entire poker game. and Greg went on there, and here's what he said. I'll just read
I have not heard this, folks.
All right, so I'll just read it, and you can react.
Okay.
Greg Fossilman Raymer. I was also invited to play in this, as I have been in seasons past. I've always said no, because I don't have the $10 to $20 million bankroll you should have to sensibly participate. I'm pretty much 100% certain that PokerStars is not going to stake anybody on this show. PokerStars pros are probably more likely to be invited than in seasons past, but if they play, it's their own money or their backers. If Dennis Phillips chooses to play on his own dime, then he is overplaying his bankroll. But it's his bankroll to do with as he wishes. If he's getting staked, then he's obviously making a huge plus EV decision, as it is presumably a free roll for him. Either way, I wish him the best, because he is maybe the nicest guy in the poker world, or at least a close second. Implying, of course, that he's number one. Yeah. What do you think about the bankroll comment?
Well, he's absolutely right. I'm not for sure there's more than half a dozen poker players in the world that really have the bankroll to truly play this game. But this is one of a kind of a game. This is, you know, it's high-stakes poker. It's sitting down with the best of the best in front of the cameras and you know.
On the best poker show on TV.
On the best poker show in the world. I don't see how I can turn it down, to be truthful.
See, I don't think that the bankroll thing really applies, because it's not like you're going to play in this game on a regular basis. You know, if you're going to sit down in a game with 400, 800 lines and have to buy in for a minimum of $200,000 every time you sat down there, yeah, now you need a 10, 15, 20, maybe even $30 million bankroll to do it, even if it's just once a week. But if you're going to do it once, if you have the coin and you can go and you can sit down there, I say more power to you.
Well, like I said, I've already made a decision to do it. Greg brings up some very valid points. Bankroll management is a huge thing that most people ignore, and he's absolutely right. To do this correctly, you should never risk more than, at a maximum, 5% of your bankroll at any one sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute maximum. Mm-hmm. So look what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have that kind of bankroll. Not going to happen, folks.
Yeah.
By the way, anybody listening that wants to bankroll me,
yeah,
my website.
Well, you know, that comes back to it. We joked a little bit about this with Joe last week.
Uh-huh.
He joked about borrowing the money from you so that he could back you. Are you allowed to get backers? I mean, I know you haven't talked to the people at High Stakes Poker yet, but even if you were allowed to, would you do that? Would you be asking around for people who want to kick in?
Okay, number one, Greg's absolutely right. There will be zero coming from PokerStars on this. This is your own dime.
Okay.
If you play down on it.
Okay.
Number two, I have not asked for any or anything like that for backers. I've never done that. I'm not for sure what I would do, because, again, trying to be prudent, to hedge your bet, maybe have a 50% backer or something like that, is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're hedging your bet there, basically. Instead of me risking a half a million, I'm risking a quarter of a million. That type of stuff.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. If somebody actually, I will not go out and look for one, but if somebody actually approached me, I would definitely talk to them.
Now, how would that work?
I don't know either.
Having never been backed myself, I don't know how that works.
I don't know for sure either. I mean,
somebody buys in for half of the amount that you're going to put on the table, do they get half of your winnings?
I know how they do it in tournaments. I know how they do it when you stake somebody in a cash game.
Yeah.
But this is high-stakes poker. You're
right.
Talking a ton of money here.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'd have to talk to the person. I would guess there'd still be more of an advantage. If he's only putting up half the money and I'm doing it and I'm the one playing and all the expenses and all this other, I'm probably going to get more than half of the return on it. But, you know, that's negotiable. That's, you know, there you go.
All
bargaining.
Right. Several of the emails that I got this week from listeners who emailed DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com wanted to know, who do you want to play against when you sit down at the high-stakes poker table? And you've watched a lot of it, and I've watched a lot of it, mm-hmm. So you know who the regulars are. I think Doyle has been in every session.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Daniel and Barry Greenstein. Antonio's been there. Phil Locke's been there.
Yeah.
A bunch of others. Who would you like to sit down against, and who would you hope is not there?
Actually, I'm more interested in the non-poker pros sitting down at the table, the guys that maybe have a background in Pulp Fiction or run Cirque du Soleil or whatever it is. I think they'd be fascinating to talk to and to pick their brains a little bit, and they bring something else to the table. No offense to any of these other guys, but I've played with Daniel, I've played with Barry, I've played with Antonio, and I'll play with them again at different times. I'm going to go there for the four or five guys that I've never played before and may never play again, and have some fun with them.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back here with more of the Lumiere Place Final Table. We are in downtown St. Louis, Paul Harris with Dennis Phillips, and in a moment, Joe McGowan, the poker coach, will join us as we continue. Don't forget, our podcasts are available on thechipleader.com, and we're live from the Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Now, taking you from the flop to the river, here are Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris talking poker at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Welcome back to the Poker Room in the Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel here in downtown St. Louis. This portion of the show brought to you by One Time Apparel. If you watched the PokerStars.net Million Dollar Challenge this past Sunday, you saw Iraq War veteran Sergeant Denny Luna taking on a couple of pros and then walking away with $25,000. And in one of the hands, he kept saying, come on, one time, one time. Let this hold up, one time, come on. Yeah. Well, it did for him, and it will for you, too, particularly when you're wearing the one-time apparel, like the brand-new sweatshirt that I'm wearing now. I don't think Kevin even has these on the market. I know they're not on the website yet.
Yeah.
They'll probably be available in 2 or 3 weeks. It's a brand-new all-white zip-up hoodie with the one-time logo on it. That's one of the things that you'll be able to buy for the winter season. And for anybody who's been in a poker room in America, you know it's always winter season in here.
They make it nippy.
I don't know why. I don't know why, but they do. Anyway, go to the website, onetimeapparel.com, and see all the sweatshirts and T-shirts and hats that are available to you. And remember that they're all made here in America using local vendors, with a portion of the sales proceeds going to various charitable organizations. This is the line of clothing that started at Pokerpalooza this summer and continues into the fall and into the winter as well. I'll be wearing it to an event at the Horseshoe in Hammond, Indiana, which I'm leaving for later on this afternoon, and we'll play in all the rest of this week. It's onetimeapparel.com. Go there, see their items, charge them to your credit card, use PayPal. We're happy to have them as a sponsor of the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 of the Fan KFNS, and our podcast available on thechipleader.com. Before we go to Joe for his poker coach segment, we've been talking a lot about who would get into the Poker Hall of Fame.
There you go.
One person named to it this year.
The best candidate of the bunch.
Absolutely. The name talked about quite often. His name is Mike Sexton.
Yes.
He will be inducted on November 7th at the Rio when the play resumes in the World Series of Poker main event. He beat out three former World Series of Poker champions, Tom McAvoy, Dan Harrington, and Scotty Wynn. The other ones on the ballot were Barry Greenstein, Phil Ivey, Men Wynn, Daniel Negreanu, and Eric Seidel, all of whom may make it at some point in the future. But Mike Sexton, a great ambassador for our game.
Absolutely is. And not to take anything away from the other guys, because I really think you have a lineup there that most of them will end up in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
But Mike Sexton is just almost in a league of himself. What he's done for charities, what he's done for the game of poker, he is an unbelievable ambassador.
Speaking of Halls of Fame, Doyle Brunson, of course, is already in the Poker Hall of Fame. He's just been put into the Athletics Hall of Fame at his alma mater, Hardin-Simmons University. Now, anybody who only knows Doyle as a huge guy with health problems and walking around with a cane or a crutch or now having to use one of those scooters might not know that before he started playing poker for a living, was a great runner in track and played basketball at Hardin-Simmons University, where he was a key member of the team when they won their conference championship for a spot in the NCAA Division I playoffs. He was the only athlete to be named the MVP of the Division I Border Conference, scored 412 points. He had been passed over for recognition in the school's Hall of Fame because of his poker playing. And that should tell you something about the discrimination against poker players that's gone on for way too long, and maybe a change in the attitudes.
I was about to say, that may also tell you another thing, that it is changing. That this image of smoke-filled back rooms, you know, whatever the heck type things, is disappearing, and people are starting to realize that this is a game that you can have a tremendous amount of fun at, that, you know, it's just so many positives to it.
Absolutely. All right, now let's go to the poker coach, Joe McGowan, who's got a lesson for us this week. What are you going to teach us about, Joe?
Well, actually, you've told me in the past a couple times, Paul, that our listeners often like to hear the three of us talk about a hand and really get into it. I've talked a little bit about this particular hand with Dennis because I was in amazement when I saw it, and I haven't talked to you about it yet, Paul, so I thought the three of us could go over a hand that I watched when Dennis was unfortunately knocked out of the what was that, Dennis, out in London?
The High Rollers event, yeah.
You came in seventh, correct?
Correct. You have to bring up that I got knocked out. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Hey, you made the final table. That's everybody else. But anyway, when it got down to five-handed, Matt Glantz, and if people don't know him, he's a fierce, you know, really skilled, very, very solid, on my opinion, player that plays a lot of cash games that people that have been around poker for a while definitely know who he is. He's not a household name, but a really good player. He's on the button, and Dennis might have to help me a little bit with the chips,
yep.
With what they had left and all, but it's an unopened pot, no limpers, no nothing. He's on the button. He raises to 100,000, and I think the blinds were 15,000, 30,000, or maybe 20, 40.
No, they were 15-30 at that time.
They were 15-30. Okay.
I'm pretty sure they were.
And there were antes. So he makes it 100,000 to go.
Yeah.
And in the small blind was Zygmunt, who was the person when we talked about the prop bets, was playing with Phil Ivey in the 50,000 red-black. So, I mean, this is a younger internet player that has definitely some gamble in him. He basically has 110,000 left, so he's essentially calling. If he's going to call this raise, which he does. He moves all in for his 110,000. Now, do you remember the guy that was now on the big blind, Dennis? He's the chess player.
Leo Fernandez.
Okay, perfect. He's also, I think, a PokerStars pro.
He is. He is from one of the Latin American players. Played with him a number of times down there. Leo Fernandez is his name.
Okay. I mean, well, even for fun, Paul, because you haven't heard it, I mean, what range do you put Zygmunt on for his tournament life? To be able to call, you know, Matt's open raise to 100.
Okay, to give you a little bit of background, Matt is a solid, solid player, had been playing great poker all day, not the wild betting, not the wild anything, had a decent chip stack in front of him. I don't know where he was for sure. He's probably second, third in chips at this time. It is his button, you know, so, I mean, maybe that gives you a little more flexibility. But he's a solid, solid player.
Okay, obviously any pair. Normally I would say any ace, but maybe not. So I'm going to put him on something close to connectors, not even necessarily suited, but even as big as a double gapper, like 6-9, 5-8, even offsuit.
See, I even put him on a better hand than that simply because he knows if Ziggy's got anything at all, he's going to shove there. Even though he just went through the blinds, if he's got almost anything at all. Now, Ziggy's got any ace.
Oh, I thought you were asking me what Zygmunt has.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking.
Oh, yeah. My fault, man. Totally. Yeah. I thought you were talking about Matt. Yeah. Wait a minute.
I think Zygmunt comes in with anything where if he puts Matt Glanz on anything but a big pair, if he just wants to play two live cards.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, you know, this is where maybe I'm a little different here because I'm kind of giving it away, which is okay. We're going to get to it anyway. But, yeah, Zygmunt has a very weak hand. He actually has 6-4 offsuit.
Okay,
so,
it was pretty close.
I like to term that as the bluff call. I was just in amazement for a number of reasons because, you know, there's nothing possible that he can beat there. I mean, there's no way that he's ahead. And he has the button coming next where when he's the button, the big blind should still have a little fold equity and might fold, a jack-deuce or, you know, a wide range of hands. And certainly he should wake up to better than a hand than 6-4, perhaps on the button or next. And, you know, I can understand his thinking. The antes are in there, and he'll go with any two and hope to get lucky here. But I couldn't believe that he had basically called off all of his entire stack there, his whole tournament. Now, the next player, now it's in the big blind, he asks Matt, what do you have left? Matt goes into his deal, and I think, and this is where I might need Dennis's help, I think Matt had around 500,000, maybe 600,000.
I think you're very, very close. I was going to say about 5.5, so you're very, very close.
Okay. And
that's on top of
the
what
guy
got,
in the
right?
Big blind, the other PokerStars pro, he had about the same stack at about 500, 600, somewhere in that range.
He was, but he was actually under. Matt had him covered, I'm almost positive.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. That's the way I remember it as well. What happens is he goes all in. He moves all in.
Leo Fernandez moves all in from the big blind.
Yes.
Moves all in from the big blind.
Okay.
Now, you're doing good, Paul, because you're actually, you know, I never thought you'd get the range so low with Zygmunt, but what do you put this guy on? You know, what range do you put here?
A big pair, nines or better.
Okay. He had 8-3 offsuit. Yeah, and you know what? In memory, it could have been 8-3 of clubs or something, but really,
whatever.
I can't quite remember. But it was 8-3. And again, there's always, you can look at things, and I know when Phil Ivey was starting in Bobby's room, a lot of the better players thought he was horrible. You know, a lot of people, when people play a little differently, you know, and they're used to playing a certain way, they think, oh, this guy's terrible, but he keeps winning all the money, you know, whoever this guy might be. I'm not saying I think this guy was terrible. I'm just saying I was in amazement when they rolled over the cards and they showed what they had. And that the guy in the big blind risked his entire tournament, you know, to try to isolate Zygmunt to get it basically with what might be the right price, even if you have, you know, 7-deuce, 8-3 against ace-king, you know, which is the best you're hoping for. But, you know, would it be impossible that, you know, Zygmunt might roll over two nines, or Matt might have had ace-queen and made a good call, or a pair of tens or something? I just couldn't believe it. I mean, what do you guys think about the 8-3 play, risking your entire tournament? You know, and Zygmunt, and also you're going to potentially more than triple up Zygmunt. You know, do you want to do that? Make him now dangerous and give him over 300, well over 300,000 in chips, you know, with your 8-3. So, to isolate, I mean, what a favor for him.
Yeah, I absolutely would not have done that, to be honest about it. Matt could have come in, because if he'd had pocket aces or kings, he's going to make a standard raise there, is all he's going to do.
Right.
Maybe with, you know, nines, tens, something like that. I honestly, there's no way in the world. First of all, I agree with you. You threw the big blind, you threw the small blind. You now have about five more hands to pick from before you will have to shove on this thing. I know you're down to only 110,000. It's got to be a better hand than a 6-4. Absolutely does. I would not have shoved if I was a small blind.
But what about Leo shoving then, in the big blind with 8 high?
I am getting to that. And I know what he's thinking in his mind. He's saying, there's 220,000 out there. I'm going to put out 110 to win this. I'm going to get 2-1 back on my money. And I know unless Matt has a premium hand, he's going to fold. The problem
is, Zygmunt?
You can't. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the other shoe. You know, that thinking is one thing. But look what you're doing. Zygmunt could, just because he's short stacked doesn't mean he has a bad hand.
Right.
You know, he has just as good a chance to have ace jack as he does to have 6-4. You know, they're random cards.
He could have ace 8. You know, I mean, he could have the guy, you know, it's unlikely
totally
that he's dominated with
he could have 10-9.
Yeah, 9-8. Oh, that would have been sick if he'd had 9-8.
Yeah.
He has him top pair. You know, the guy's drawn to a 3.
Right.
So, but
now,
yeah,
it really doesn't matter. You know, a lot of times, well, who won? You know, it doesn't really matter too much to me, you know, if Matt actually had kings and ends up winning the hand, you know, because it's kind of like, oh, I folded jack 9, I would have won the pot. You know, well, you folded. You know, that's another pet peeve of mine at the poker table. The guy sits next to you, and every, you know, four hands, oh, I would have had the winner, I threw away this. You know, no one cares once you throw it away, and all you can do is make the right decision at that time. And if you always called or played with all these bad hands, you'd be broke. So you should be throwing those away in general. And once in a while, yes, they'll be a winner. But as it turns out, and I don't think it makes it right or wrong, just because people are probably interested, Zygmunt ends up winning the pot and does triple up, more than triple up.
I'm curious, Joe, before you go on, what did Matt have? Did he call Leo's all-in?
No, he folded.
Oh, he folded?
He folded. He had the best hand, obviously, on it. And knowing him, it may not have been a monster. It wasn't a premium hand, but it was a good solid hand. I literally could put him on an ace jack. I could put him on pocket eights, pocket nines, something like that.
Queen
and he
jack,
would fold
maybe?
Those. Oh, definitely queen jack. He's folding on that. But that's within the range. But even that is probably toward the lower end of it because he didn't have to. He had the chips. We're getting down to only five or six people left.
Yeah.
You know, why is he going to risk a quarter of his chips or, well, not a quarter, 20% of his chips? On an 8-3 or whatever. He's not going to do it.
Particularly with a call and an all-in.
Well, yeah, I mean, he laid down immediately. No debate, no showboating, gone.
But to go back to Zygmunt calling all-in, I mean, if the blinds are 15-30 there, and you're playing five-handed, and there are anties as well.
Playing six-handed, but yeah.
Okay, six-handed.
I think it was five at this point, but
it might have been five.
Okay.
Whatever.
He's not going to see all that many more hands. Here's a chance for him to double up, and if he puts Matt on anything besides a pair, you know, he's what, a 60-40 dog at that point?
A little more than that, but not that much.
Okay, 65-35.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think like what you're saying, Paul, I've thought about it a fair amount, and I think there's, without a doubt, that's the way these guys are thinking. And the other thing is, you know, when Dennis played the final table and these people say, oh, you played this hand this way and you had pocket sevens and you played it this way, people don't know, you know, this guy that was in the big blind, he might have had an amazing read, possibly, on Mack Lance, that he was weak.
Yep.
And he knew an all-in bet he would fold, and now he's definitely heads up against Zygmunt. So that's, without a doubt, possible. But just as the cards lie and only knowing the cards and doing it limited information, I was very surprised to see those hands being rolled over.
That's a great one.
And of course, Matt's the one that ended up taking down the whole tournament. So,
right.
You know, boom. He mucked it. Don't think it bothered him too much.
No. All he lost was 110,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or 100,000. He didn't even get in there for the 110. He was only in for the 100 for his pre-flop raise. All right. Thanks, Joe. Great stuff. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Okay. Thanks guys.
Appreciate
see you, Dennis.
That's the poker coach, Joe McGowan, a weekly regular here on the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan KFNS, and our podcast available on thechipleader.com. This portion of the show is brought to you by Reactor Watch.
Yeah, Reactor Watch, guys. Remember, that's the watch that I wear. And again, I mentioned this last week, and I just think it's so phenomenal, I'm going to bring it up again. The Reactor Watch just got a recent rating, and it was the Reactor Trident Watch on that. And it rated, believe it or not, a 98 on durability. There's a story behind that thing. They actually had a Trident that withstood two separate IED attacks over there in Iraq and a suicide bomber attack. And it did nothing more than crack the crystal on this thing. This thing has gained so much admiration over there in the fighting forces that entire units now require that the soldiers wear them. So if you want to wear a watch in Iraq, in some of these units, the only watch they'll allow you to wear is a Reactor Trident. That speaks volumes for this watch. I'm telling you, if you like it, they're attractive, they just don't wear. The durability of them is unbelievable. So go to reactorwatch.com. Check it out. Check out the Trident. Read about this story. It's amazing. A 98 durability score for Reactor watches.
We are live in downtown St. Louis at the Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel. This portion of the show brought to you by the Poker Players Alliance, a nonprofit group that fights for the rights of poker players like you and me. They will be in court this Thursday in Kentucky.
Yes.
Where the oral arguments are going on for one of the biggest poker cases in America. It is a hearing which, by the way, you'll be able to watch online if you want to through a Kentucky government website. This is a battle between the IMEGA, the Interactive Media Entertainment and Gaming Association, and the governor of Kentucky, Stephen Beshear. You know, they protect horse racing in Kentucky, and they hate poker.
Yeah.
And so Governor Beshear, who's a Democrat, has gone after the poker-playing community big time by claiming he has the right to seize the domain names of several online sites, including PokerStars and Full Tilt and Doyle's Room and Cake Poker, and 141 domains altogether.
Yeah, but the Kentucky Court of Appeals reversed that.
Yes, they
and
did.
And said that, no, you do not have the right to do that.
Well, now they're going to the Kentucky Supreme Court this Thursday morning at 10 or 11 o'clock or something, and they're going to hear it, and both sides will give their oral arguments, and then we'll finally get a ruling. The notion that a single state has the right
ludicrous.
To take away your domain name, regardless of what business you're in.
Oh, did you see the people that are backing them? ACLU, the Center for Democratic Technology, the Internet Commerce Association, eBay, Network Solutions, all these people are backing it, saying you're an idiot for doing this.
Yep. It's going to be very interesting to see how that fight goes forward. If you become a member of the Poker Players Alliance, you can help them out. ThePPA.org is their website. $20 makes you a member. ThePPA.org. Hey, I'm Paul Harris for Dennis Phillips and Joe the Poker Coach McGowan. Thanks for listening. Check out the website, thechipleader.com.